invited Jesus Christ into your life, He took His righteous robe and He put it on you. He took off your sin and clothed you in His righteousness. So now you are allowed into His presence 24/7 because you're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when God looks at you, He sees Jesus. Doesn't that excite you?
Amen.
Yay! When God looks at me, He doesn't see the mess. He sees Jesus. And that means 24/7, I'm allowed in the throne room. So, if that's where the joy is, why do we let so many things keep us from coming into His presence? David was perhaps the most passionate writer in the Old Testament. And he wrote Psalm 63, which I'm going to read to you this morning. And he wrote this psalm at a time when he was in the desert. And his own son was chasing after him, trying to take his life. Things in the family were not going too well. Absalom wants David's kingdom, and he's trying to kill his father to get it. And here's what David writes. He writes, "Oh God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen You in the sanctuary." You've seen Him this weekend. "And beheld Your power and Your glory. Because Your love is better than life, my lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live. And in Your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise You. In my bed I remember You. I think of You in the watches of the night. Because You are my help, I sing in the shadow of Your wings. My soul clings to You. Your right hand upholds me." Where is the source of joy? David reflects for us here five choices of a hungry heart. Are you hungry this morning? Are you hungry for something different? Are you hungry for righteousness? Are you hungry for the joy that only comes, that is only found in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I hope you are. Five choices of a hungry heart. The first one is to simply come. David says, "Oh God, You are my God. I seek You. I come to You." What is it that keeps you from coming? On a daily basis. On a moment basis. You say, "Becky, you don't know my schedule. I mean, I am just very busy." You know, we all are busy. We've all been given 24 hours a day. I don't know about you, but I want to spend my day with Jesus every day. Because nothing else matters as much as my relationship with Him. David chose to come. What does this look like in your life and mine? In the chaotic lives that we live, what does it look like to come? Let me tell you about your life this week. I am not a prophet, but I know what's going to happen. You are going to leave here this weekend. You have been on the mountaintop. God has met you, right? You are in love with Jesus. It's been good to be together. You are going to drive home this afternoon. Those of you with children, you're going to walk in the door. You're going to look in your laundry room. There's going to be 17 piles of laundry in there. There are going to be dirty dishes in the sink. You are going to go home. You are going to say to your husband, "Did you help Johnny with his homework?" He's going to give you this glazed over look. "I didn't know I was supposed to do that." Some of you are going to go home, and all hell's going to break loose in your home. The dog will have chewed up your best pillow. Or your children, your teenagers, they're going to say, "Where are my clean jeans? I need this particular pair of jeans tomorrow." And you're going to look and you're going to think, "I've been gone all weekend. Did you not know how to run the washing machine?" But it's not going to dawn on them. And you're going to think, from him. Some of you are going to go home and your husbands are going to want to talk about finances. And you're going to think, what on earth would possess a man to talk to me about finances when I've just been with Jesus? Some of you are going to go back to offices tomorrow, and your employers, your coworkers, are going to be cranky because they haven't been on a retreat all weekend. And you are going to say, oh, I want to go back. Am I right? How many of you have had this experience? A month ago, I gave almost this exact message in Wisconsin. I said all these things out of my mouth. I flew home. My heart was full. Oh, Lord, you've been so good. I've watched women's lives changed. My husband picked me up at the airport. He was flying in from somewhere. We met at the airport. He drove home. We drove home. I pull in the driveway, and I notice in the back of my Subaru, there's a dent. So I say to my beloved children, anybody know about the dent? No? No? Now, I have intelligent children. They were driving my car while I was gone in Wisconsin. All of a sudden, they said, you know, maybe we should go out and look at it. I said, that would be a good idea. They go out and look at the back of my Subaru, and all of a sudden, one of my daughters says, oh, forgot, Mom, I was backing out of the driveway and hit the neighbor's mailbox. I said, sweetie, you must have hit it pretty hard. That's a big dent. You know, this is what's going to happen when you leave here. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. So, how do you continually come into the presence of the Lord? You have to come moment by moment by moment. When you're driving down the California freeway and you're saying, Lord, I'm running late. You change it and you begin to say, Lord Jesus, give me calm right now as I drive. Lord Jesus, I want to live in your presence. Lord Jesus, you've been so good. You come moment by moment by moment, continually come. When you get home this afternoon and your husband gives you that look when you ask about homework, you say, Lord Jesus, I know the man doesn't think quite like me and he hasn't thought of homework. Give me the grace in this moment to sit down next to my third grader and go over multiplication facts. You know, you continually converse with the Lord. Second choice David makes. This one is the most important. If you don't take away anything else this weekend, take this. David says, I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live. When I was first diagnosed with breast cancer, I called my mentor, Linda Dillo. She's coming next year. Don't miss her. She's wonderful. And I said, I think I want to take a day of prayer and fasting. She said, oh, no, Becky, fasting food is not for somebody who's had an eating disorder. She said, how about if instead you offer the Lord 20 minutes of praise every day? Now, you know, bear in mind, I had been just diagnosed with breast cancer. I didn't really feel like saying, oh, thank you, God, for breast cancer. And she said, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to praise God for who he is. So the first morning, I said, okay, I'll try this for a week. I got up and I got down on my knees. Now, I had regularly read the Word of God. I had kept detailed prayer list. But I got down on my knees the first morning, and I began to praise through the alphabet. I didn't know where to start. So I turned on some soft worship music, and I said, Lord, I'm here to praise you for 20 minutes, and I don't really know how I'm going to do this. So, Holy Spirit, would you help me? Would you prompt me? And so I began, Lord, I praise you because you are almighty. Lord, I praise you because you are beautiful. Lord Jesus, I praise you because you're compassionate, because you're the creator. You're the one who created those pine trees and the ocean out there. You're the one who created Pike's Peak. Lord Jesus, I praise you because you are my deliverer. You can deliver me from breast cancer. Lord Jesus, I praise you because you're eternal and you're faithful and you're good and gracious and holy and infinite. And on I went. And the 20 minutes flew by. So the next morning, I got up again, and I did the same thing. And a strange thing began to happen. I had never been able to feel the love of God. I preached on the love of God. I taught the love of God. I believed the love of God in my head, but I couldn't feel it in my heart. As I began to unleash the power of praise in my life, God came close. And I began to experience His love in a new way. You see, in Psalm 22, it says He inhabits the praises of His people. And that is our true life's calling. Praising the Lord Jesus Christ and worshiping Him is your calling. That's what you're about. That's why you were created. That's why you live on this earth, to praise and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I began to do that, I got addicted. Now, if I'm going to be addicted to anything, I want to be addicted to praise. Don't you? David said, I will praise you as long as I live. No matter what's going on in my life, all hell may be breaking loose in my personal life, I will praise you, Lord. And you know, after this weekend, that I don't say that lightly. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever you face when you get home, I guarantee you, if you will begin to unleash the power of praise, you're not praising God for His circumstances. It's not like you say, oh great, I'm so excited, I've been diagnosed with breast cancer, can't wait to have my breasts taken off. It's not like you go home and you say, oh, I'm so excited that my husband and I are getting this divorce. No, of course not. You say, Lord Jesus, I praise you for your character because you are big enough to handle my situation, no matter what it is. And you begin praising Him for His character. And when you will choose to do that, it lifts your eyes off of your circumstances and onto the Holy One. And all of a sudden, you will begin to experience God's presence in new ways. I guarantee you. For the rest of the sermon or message, I want you to be thinking about this, because at the end of this message, I'm going to give you that 20-minute worship challenge. The third choice that David makes is he says, I think of you on my bed in the watches of the night. You ever have a night where you can't sleep? I know you have. Some of you talk to me about this, okay? And you're laying in bed and you're thinking. David says, I will take my thoughts. David might have been worried and obsessing. Oh my gosh, where did I go wrong with Absalom? Why is he trying to chase me down? Why is he trying to kill me? Or when is he going to hit next? Or what's going on in my family? Instead of choosing to dwell on that, he sets his thoughts on God. I will think of you in the watches of the night. When you can't sleep this week, set your thoughts on God. Reflect on who He is. Give Him your praise in the watches of the night. The fourth choice that David makes is he says, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I love this. You know, song and music. Music is the song that God gives us to heal broken hearts. You know, there's nothing as healing as music, I think. You know, when I am having a low day or a down day, I will work around my house and I'll put on some praise music. And I figure, okay, even if I can't sing, I'm going to blare the praise music and I'm going to fill my home with praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. I sing in the shadow of your wings. When was the last time you're driving in your car and you put on some worship music and you just bust it out in song? I mean, nobody has to be with you. They don't have to hear whether you're a good singer or a bad singer or what kind of singer you are. I have a daughter that God has given me who has an incredible singing voice. And from the time she was about 3 years old, I would tuck Carrie into bed at night and I would leave the room and I would hear her sing herself to sleep. And now she wins all kinds of voice competitions and just loves song. But even if you can't sing, fill your car with worship music. I remember when we first moved to San Diego, I was completely blown away by the California freeways. I mean, for starters, okay, I'm going to be a little random here, but it's the last message, I can be random. I remember thinking, have you ever noticed all the stuff that's in the California freeways? Okay, like you'll be driving down the freeway, 80 miles an hour, and all of a sudden there's a mattress in the road. Who throws their mattress in the road. Or I've seen ice chests, ladders, mattresses. I mean, I've seen all manner of paraphernalia on the California freeways. And when we first moved to San Diego, I had to spend a lot of time driving. How many of you figure you spend at least an hour and a half driving every day? Look around the room. Look how many hands are up. Okay. What if you left here and you set aside you just took this step and you set aside your driving time and you put a worship CD in and you say, okay, Lord, my driving time is now your time. I'm going to praise you. And you use your car time to intentionally sing about his praises. Even if you can't sing, let somebody else do the singing along with you and you can sing in your mind or in your car. Nobody hears you anyway. You could still sing. Okay, fifth choice. David says, I cling. I cling. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. I love the idea of clinging to the Lord. It reminds me of when my children were little. They loved to go to the ocean, and we loved to take them there. Now, here's my theory on parenting. I think mothers give children their common sense, and fathers give them their sense of adventure. And so my husband is Mr. Adventurer. The man loves adventure. I mean, I once asked him what his most romantic date would be, and he said, I would love it if you would go bungee jumping with me. I thought, what planet are you from? And he said, well, think about it, Becky. I said, you know, I think I would die of a heart attack. He said, but sweetie, you would die in my arms. It would be so romantic. Truly, the man is a little bizarre, but I love him. So anyway, he would take my precious little children out into the ocean, and the waves would come crashing in. And Steve would hold those tiny little bodies, you know, and you could see the kids clinging to his neck for dear life. And Steve would be holding on to them. And the thing about it is, even if they let go, Steve wasn't about to let them go because they were too precious to him. I cling to you. That's the picture. Sometimes life feels like a big chaotic ocean, doesn't it? And the waves are crashing in and you're thinking, God, I am going to totally lose it here. Oh, no, you're not, because you're going to choose to cling. And even if your hands begin to let go, he's holding on to you and he's got you tucked against his chest. And David says, I cling to you in the watches of the night. Five choices. The last one, that was five. Now I'm going to give you a six. I lied. Sorry. Forgot one choice. David says in verse 11, but the king will rejoice in God. I will choose to find my joy in God. That's where the joy is, ladies. That's where the joy is. There are wonderful moments of life. There are walks along the beach. The joy is the deepest when you're walking the beach and you sense the Lord's presence. The joy is the deepest when you're in your kitchen and you're making dinner and you sense the Lord's presence because he's there with you. He is the joy giver. That's where the joy is located. It's in his presence. And we need to learn how to be intentional about coming. So how do you do this? You choose to live life on two levels. On one level, you might be helping with homework or talking on the phone, or you might be doing laundry, or you might be sitting at your desk in your office. At another level, much deeper, you're living in constant communion with Jesus Christ. So you're typing at your computer, working on a deadline, and underneath that, way down in here, you're saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. I praise you that you love me. I praise you that you know the deadline I have for this project. I need to get it done. You know, you're cleaning up that mess that your toddler made. And on one level, you're mopping the floor. On another level, you're saying, Lord Jesus, I praise you because you are the Holy One. You are the joy giver. You are the one who can meet my deepest love needs. You are the one who can satisfy my every longing. You learn to live life on two levels. Now, I want you to close your eyes for a minute. We are done. If you have your Bible, I want you to put it under your chair. And I want you to think for a minute. I told you that when Linda gave me the 20-minute worship challenge, it changed my life. Because I learned that by unleashing the power of praise, that God's presence came much closer to me. I began to hear His voice in my worship time. He would prompt me sometimes to pray for nations that I had never thought of. He would speak to me and teach me how to love Him in a deeper way. It changed my life. It gave me the courage to continue when I didn't feel like I could. And He can do the same for you. He says He inhabits the praises of His people. And I want you to think about your spiritual journey. Maybe you're good at going to church. Maybe you are even disciplined about reading your Bible. Maybe you keep meticulous prayer lists. I don't know where you're at on your spiritual journey, but I want to challenge you this morning to go deeper. The joy is found in His presence, and the path to His presence is through praise. And so I want to give you this morning the 20-minute worship challenge. I want to dare you to say before the Lord, Lord, I commit to you that for the next month, I am going to set aside 20 minutes intentionally to praise you. During those 20 minutes, I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm simply going to praise you. If you are willing to take that challenge, and I want the rest of you to keep your eyes closed because I want this to be kind of a semi-private moment. I want you to stand up if you're willing to take that challenge. If you're willing to take the challenge, the 20-minute worship challenge, I guarantee you it will change your life. And I want to hear how it changes your life. So if you take the challenge, get my email address from Sharon and write me and tell me what God did. Now I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. My Father, I bless every woman who's here. She has been on a hard journey. Lord Jesus, I bless the women who are standing right now, who are saying, Lord Jesus, I want to go deeper with you and I want to learn how to unleash the power of praise in my life. I commit to you that I'm going to take the 20-minute worship challenge. Lord, you know as well as I do that when these women get home, particularly those that are standing, Satan is going to start with his blah, blah, blah and try to get them off track. But they are committing this morning that they are going to try to set aside intentional time to praise you for 20 minutes a day. Would you meet them, Holy One, as they lift their praises before you? Would you meet them? Would you come close? Would you help them to experience your love in much deeper ways? Would you speak to them through the still small voice of your spirit? Would you awaken in them a deeper hunger for who you are and for your presence? The more that they become satisfied in you, would you awaken even more hunger in them for more of you? Lord Jesus, I set them apart for you. I bless them. I praise you for them. And I pray that you would bring your work to completion in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.